You could have been a supporter of any football team. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town where I come from. In Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley. Hello everyone and welcome back to another instalment of Ravens Weekly. We're back in the building. My name is Matt Hall and I'm delighted as ever to be joined by the very smiley man on the other side of this table, Josh Tindall. Josh, how are you?
Very good, Matt. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. I'm really looking forward to our quiz night tonight, which will be... Well, I'll be hosting and you'll be doing all the amazing technical stuff that you do behind the scenes. And it's going to be another good night. Lots of teams entering tonight. So fingers crossed for another good quiz night.
I think we're on about 27 teams.
That's incredible. From when it started.
Mental.
Absolutely incredible. Thank you to everyone who supported that across the months that we've been doing it, by the way. It is very much appreciated. Now, there's only one place to start, really. Since we recorded the last podcast, there have been two National League fixtures, that being away to Rochdale on Friday night and at home to Southend United on the bank holiday Monday. Josh, starting with Rochdale, we had the unfamiliar position of playing on a Friday night and neither you nor I being in attendance.
Oh, it felt weird. Andy came in on Monday and I said to him, I said, I didn't like it. I obviously loved, you know, watching it in Broomfields, but...
Oh, it was brilliant watching it in Broomfields, but yeah.
You just got to be there. It was such an awkward one for us, and obviously going up on the Friday means that we lose that Friday in the day as well. So we had, you know, a busy day on Friday, which means that we stayed and watched it in Broomfields and did the work from there. But yeah, no, it was good and a good result.
Yeah, I think a good result given the circumstances when we last went there in the FA Cup a few years ago, 4-0 defeat that day. 2-2 draw this time. Most of the game with 10 men. We did go 1-0 up through Chin Akoli, who scored courtesy of a flicked header from a brilliant Josh Pasley cross. There was then, of course, the sending off, which saw Josh Pasley shown a straight red card and Tyrese Sinclair buried the resulting penalty into the back of the net. Sinclair himself scored Rochdale's second goal just into the second half. It was an incredible strike. You can't really take much away from him. But, you know, you've seen this team fight back. And they've done that again. And actually, the goal was such a good move, wasn't it? It started in our own penalty area. 10 men, not afraid to carry on attacking. What a finish by Michael Cheek and great work from Corey Whiteley.
Yeah, you mentioned it there. Corey Whiteley, I mean, we've seen him run multiple times over the past couple of years that he's been here. But this season, he just seems like he's on another level. Like the pace that he's...
Than ever, yeah. Isn't he?
Like every time there's a loose ball and he's got... inch of a chance that he's going to make it, he'll go for it. And yeah, I mean, people saw it on Monday as well, he's closing down and stuff, but yeah, really, really good goal.
Absolutely. And that saw us to a respectable result there. I think a draw at a place like that, they're a bit of an unknown quantity, just come into the league, big stadium, lots of support, it's a good point on the road.
It is, yeah. Obviously it's always a bit nervy when a team comes down from the EFL. I know we were like that when we went Scunthorpe and stuff, and you never know how these teams are going to do. I think Scunthorpe are an example that it didn't work out for them, but sometimes you can go down and jump straight back up, and I think Grimsby did that, didn't they? So,
a few years back.
So you never know.
Well, it was brilliant watching it in Broomfields. The atmosphere was fantastic, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was
and
good.
Actually, we had the added benefit of not only a half-time interview with Mark Hammond and Robin Stanton-Gleaves, but the under-23s playing at the same time on the stadium. So the fans could watch the under-23s and watch the action in Broomfield. Yeah. They could flick between the two games. It's like BBC Red Button.
Oh, it was good. And obviously, the under-21s are flying at the minute and it was a big game for them. Aldershot second. I know Aldershot did well last season as well. So,
and Bromley now top of the league and unbeaten.
Oh, yeah. We're still top of the league, beating one of our, you know, closest rivals in the league. Obviously, it's still early days and... to win convincingly as well, 5-1.
5-1, an absolutely incredible result. A great performance as well, some brilliant goals being scored.
And to mention as well, the start of last season, we were playing the likes of Zach Bradshaw and, you know, Matt Boylan, you know, players that we signed in the summer that really should have been around our you know, senior players, and they were playing for the 21s at the time, whereas now we're, you know, looking at our under 18s that have come up and the actual talent that we've brought through from, you know, under 17s, under 18s level.
Well, fantastic. Well done to Jamel and the under-21s for that result. Great news for our women's team as well. A hat-trick from Charlotte Lee saw them to a 3-1 victory away to Dartford, which is a bit of a local derby, isn't it? Great result. And Charlotte Lee doing what she does best, banging the goals in.
She always does, doesn't she? That's just what she does. I mean, we weren't there personally, but Dave Poynton was giving us the updates, and as soon as he sent through, Charlotte Lee scored a hat trick. It was like,
it's like water is wet.
What is new?
She it's just what she does. And actually, from watching her in the games in the past, she's a really clever player. And it's brilliant to see that she scored a hat trick. And there's been some exciting signings coming in to Bromley Women, and we look forward to seeing them over the coming weeks. Of course, they make their first home appearance of the season this Sunday as they host Bexhill. So come on down to that one. More details available on the website. And then, of course, the following week is the FA Cup game at home to Sevenoaks Town. And we'll talk more about that in next week's podcast. But we love the FA Cup, don't we?
Yeah.
And the FA Cup for the Bromley Women is always very special as well. And we look forward to that just as much. Now, just want to give a shout out to the Matchday Media team and a piece of work that they've created, which was an idea of yours, Josh, and that is an Inside the Club. And it's fair to say, I think they've done a brilliant job. They had a little fan cam, predictions going on there, various different bits. I thought it was a really good watch.
Well, it's something that the club have been doing for a while. I know when I was here on work experience, I was like 3-4 years ago. I know that was a big thing that yourself and Jeff and everyone behind the scenes wanted to get across. So that was way before Broomfields, way before, you know, we had the facilities that we've had. And, you know, I still remember me and it was Josh Keeble Wells at the time going into the changing rooms with the mascots and stuff. And it's been something that I know me and Jeff have been trying to get back. And luckily we've managed to get a couple of students in on the match day. One being a lad called Freddie, who took a lead on the Inside the Club production on Monday. And with the help of other students that we've got, it turned out to be great. And it was good to see the fan cam. I think that's a new feature that we've not done before. So
really enjoyed that. Really enjoyed it. Well done, Josh.
Which was was actually Freddie's idea to the fan cam. So,
and it came out well, didn't it?
Yeah.
And most people predicting Bromley to win. I think a couple draws, but we did win. And we'll come onto that in a moment. But first, just to congratulate George Alexander, who I think has 4 goals in 4 games now for Slough Town. And of course, unfortunately, Slough lost at Chippenham, but George did weigh in with a goal, and it's great to see him pick up where he left off, really, considering how well he did there last season.
I think it was credited to someone else at the start, and then I think it was given to him.
He's had that a couple of times, hasn't he?
That's twice now this season that he's had a goal.
Dubious goals panel.
Yeah. So, luckily, both have swung in his favour, so that's 2 more to the tally.
And just quickly summarising that Southend game, nearly 3,400 people in attendance, first win of the season, first 3 points, and actually I thought, Josh, a really good performance from every single player out there. You know, Andy will tell us more about what he thinks about the game later. Players putting their bodies on the line, particularly towards the end, more great saves from Grant Smith, 2-2 for Michael Cheek, a goal for Louis Dennis on his return to the starting 11. Couldn't really have gone much better, could have done without some of the nerves at the end though.
Yeah, I mean, we've been saying it. I think the lads have been playing better each game, so we've improved on every result. And I know the injuries and stuff haven't gone our way, but yeah, the lads they played well Monday. And yeah, like I said, it was nervy at the end. I know Bez made a really good block in stoppage time to, you know, that was just important as Louis and Cheeky's goals, but yeah. A good result, and we needed it.
And a great atmosphere as well. Brilliant support from the Bromley fans. And you have to say, fair play, Southend, for selling out the away end in the difficult times their club is going through and creating a really good atmosphere for the players to enjoy and kind of feast on. And kind of that drives them on that little bit more, I think.
Yeah, obviously, as a football fan, you hope that they get things sorted and that, you know, the outcome's positive for them because, you know, they've got the base to sort of, you know, return to the levels that they were. And, you know, I think it was 4 years ago they were playing League One and that's where they want to be again, and, you know, even higher. So, yeah, hopefully it all works out for them.
Well, we're going to hear from a player who has played a leading role in the unbeaten run and has really grown into his position in a Bromley shirt, and that is one Chin Okoli, of course, on loan from Millwall. We sat down with Chin to discuss his footballing journey and everything else in between, and here's what he had to say.
Chin, thank you for joining us on the podcast. How are you feeling?
Yeah, I'm feeling good today. Good day of training and ready for the weekend ahead.
You've been playing really well. How much have you settled in so far?
I feel like it's been easier for me to settle in because everyone's just been welcoming, everyone's helping me. So I feel I've settled in quite well, and I feel like the staff and the senior players have really helped me make that step into first team football.
And how have you found that transition from, you know, under-21s football to senior football now?
I'm not going to lie and say it's been easy, but it's hard, but it's a good type of hard. Like playing for 3 points and like everyone behind each other is just like, it's a different type of feeling, especially when you win and get points.
The first time you came here that we saw you, you were captaining Millwall under-21s, and then literally 3 days later, you were playing for Bromley. It all seemed to happen very quickly. Was your move here as a result of your performance that day for Millwall?
Yeah, I think that Bromley had been tracking me from before that, but I feel like my performance that game was like kind of the icing on the cake, and then after that, literally a day or two after, I was signing here playing against Dartford, I think it was. Yeah.
Must have been weird playing for Millwall, playing against Bromley, and then all of a sudden these guys are your teammates. I know it's a friendly, but still.
Yeah, it was quite weird, but I feel like, as I said before, the lads just, they welcomed me in it, so it was quite easy for me, and I just played my game. I just played with confidence, and I played well, so good.
And what are your feelings around the environment that you train in when you were brought round for the first time, when you came in here? It's obviously changed quite a lot over the years.
Yeah, I can't lie, I was very surprised. I was like the facilities, everything down to the food, the chefs, everything is top draw, and I feel like that's what helps push the team. Like everything we do, even like yoga, stuff like that, it just helps push the team and helps us strive to be better individually and as a team, and hopefully get more points on the board.
And during that pre-season campaign, Andy Woodman put a lot of trust in you, and you actually, again, I know it's a friendly, but still, you were given the armband for one of the fixtures, which again shows how much faith Andy has in you, and that must have been a good experience for you to lead another team as well as your Millwall team.
Yeah, of course, it was quite surreal at the moment, but I had to buckle up and just play my game, and I feel like in the team, obviously we have Skip, but there's a lot of other leaders on the pitch, and I feel like it was a good chance for me to show what I can do and lead.
And moving away from the friendlies, it's now 6 games into the National League season. When you heard you were going to be playing in the National League, what did you think about the standard of football, and has it actually surprised you that the standard of football that you're playing in each week?
Yeah, like as you just said, the standard is quite high, to be honest. When I first heard, the first thing I did was I just went on to, like, you know, YouTube, Twitter, just like read and watch some games. But I feel like playing in it is different. The quality is high. I think since I've played, I don't think any team has just like punted it long all the time. I feel like that teams this like league are just trying to play and play out from the back. So I feel like it's a good test for me.
Another thing that's a great experience for you is to play in front of these crowds. And for example, you played at Rochdale, and we'll talk about the goal in a minute, but a big crowd there, and of course, a brilliant crowd here at the Relocatum Community Stadium on Monday. Great atmosphere.
Yeah, of course. And the fans are, like, I think that's the biggest thing about the club. The fans are so involved. The fans always get behind the team, even in times of, like, times when they're tough. And I feel like that helps pushes the lads and helps us to try and do our best on the pitch for the team. I feel like each game, the away fans, obviously, you know they're gonna slate you, they're gonna jeer you, but I feel like you need to be mentally strong to be able to play on and play well.
You really seem to have grown into the role that you're playing in the team in the past few games. It was a difficult start for the team, wasn't it? But, you know, looking at that Kidderminster draw, particularly for you getting in the team of the week, which was great, a clean sheet as well, that really seems to have kick-started us a little bit. The kind of backs against the wall mentality, and obviously great to get the win on Monday too.
Yeah, of course. Kidderminster, I feel like that was that was our base. We defend strongly and defend from the front and just defend, what's the word? Defend just strongly and everyone puts their body on the line and that's how we kept our clean sheet. And I feel like since then we've just been like building from it, another draw and then a good win on Monday.
And obviously you mentioned the skipper earlier. How much has that benefited you playing alongside the likes of, you know, Byron Webster, Callum Reynolds, players that have been playing in this league for a number of years, and obviously their experience is going to rub off on you, so that must give you a lot of confidence.
Yeah, I feel like one of the main reasons Millwall like wanted me to come here was to learn from the likes of them. Obviously, Skip was a skipper, was at Millwall before, so I feel like that's a big thing. And in games, it makes it easier for me because I've got two players next to me that know the game inside out. So like, so any info they give me, I know to like take it on board and it'll be good for me. And I feel like even down to small stuff like what's it, training and stuff like that, they always come out their way to come and help me. And I feel like that sort of stuff you don't find that everywhere. So I'm very grateful, to be honest.
And at the same time, we've got a lot of younger players as well in the squad. So has that helped you settle in?
Yeah, of course. I feel like there's a good gel and a good balance of like of youth and experience. So I feel like, and I don't feel like there's groups in the team. I feel like everyone's just like part of the team. So I feel like, yeah, just feel good to be here.
Talk us through that goal at Rochdale. How did that feel to, you know, get on the score sheet?
Yeah, so obviously Passy's put it in, I flicked it in, scored, and I've just froze. I'm like, oh my gosh, what's going on? And then I've gone to slide, I've slid, but like I haven't heard cheering, so I'm thinking I've done the wrong thing. But then I've noticed, oh yeah, we're playing away now, so I'm like, okay, this how it is. And then the lads are just like laughing, buzzing for me. They're like, yeah, yes chin, and I feel like I think that's one of the highlights of my career so far.
Bez Topolodge obviously joined us from Millwall last year. Did you know Bez from before?
Yeah. Me and Bez were good friends at Millwall. And the second I knew I'm going to come on loan, I messaged him and I said, "What do you think?" And he said, "Yeah, it's a good opportunity." He said, "It's a good team, good like gym, all of that." So I feel like that also pushed me to come here and join here.
We won't mention the name of the person to spoil the surprise, but I'm going to throw this in there. You, Bez, and Ben Crowhouse tried to record, and I say tried to record, a birthday message for someone earlier. I never knew something like that could prove so difficult.
Someone's birthday today. Obviously, you want to just wish them happy birthday. They brought in some cakes for us, so I feel like they're really part of the team.
Moving on, it's another big trip. How has it been for you to get used to these long trips, these overnights, and actually everything that goes into it? You look at the Rochdale game and getting back very early hours of Saturday morning and then back into training on Sunday and back to a match on Monday. It doesn't stop in this league, does it?
No, it's quite hard physically, but I feel like as time goes on, you just get used to it. So I just got to keep looking after myself well off the pitch, and I feel like yeah, I'll be good.
Sorry, completely threw me off there. I was just enjoying the conversation. So
all right,
I'll ruin that.
I'll carry on, shall I? So Chin, tell us about your youth, how you got involved in football. When did you start playing, and was it always a defensive position for you? Did you play anywhere else at all?
Nah, so obviously when you're young, you want to score the goals, you want to like celebrate. So I started off up front, and I think I was probably around 9, 10, and I was playing at school. And then I got scouted by like a local team, Tenenby, and then I played there for a while, and then I started playing for Lewisham District. And that's when I played a game against Millwall under 11s at the Den. And then I got scouted when I was under 11s around maybe January, and then just since then I've just been going through the ranks. I came on trial as like a 9, then I went into 10, then I went into 8, then I went into 4, and then I just started growing and growing. I found myself playing centre back, and then Yeah, here I am now.
If the gaffer asked you to play up top, would you do it?
Yep.
He's proven it. He's still the watch there. So.
There we go. It was a striker's finish, let me tell you that. But coming through, you've been at Millwall for quite a few years. It must have been it is a fantastic club, yeah. And we've got a very good relationship with Millwall, as you know. A great environment to learn the game and really develop your own game.
Yeah, obviously. They've got a lot of players there and a lot of coaches who've played high in the league. So I feel like it's the best place for a young lad, especially me who live around 10 minutes from there. So it was like always local. They always went to go watch the games, and then after like a session or something, you just do extras with like a coach, and yeah, it's good for me.
You're coming in to work under a manager. You have been working under Andy Woodman and his management team, and you can really see how much trust they put in young players. And you'll have seen it with players moving on from Bromley in the past to go to Pastures New and doing very well for themselves. That must fill you with confidence, knowing that the manager really trusts young players.
Yeah, of course. Like, I feel like it's a tough game for a manager, like a pressure around them playing youth. But I feel like the gaffer here, he trusts us and wants us to do well and pushes me every day. Even times when I feel down, he's like, come on, Chin, you know what you can do. So like, I feel like it's like a very good atmosphere, a very good management team, and yeah.
And obviously, ultimately, you are a Millwall player. How is it to play under Alan Dunn? Obviously, he's probably one of the biggest Millwall legends out there. So has that helped you as well in your development here?
Yeah, of course. Like, and he's teaching me the dark crafts of the game, the stuff that he did well as well. So I feel like it's good. He knows how it feels to play for Millwall. So I feel like there's like a link there that not a lot of players will understand. So I feel like playing under him, the stuff he tells me to do, the stuff he works on with me is really molding me into a top professional.
We talked about that Kidderminster game and, of course, the Wealdstone game before where Sol Kader scored our first goal of the season. Seems like things have really built up nicely since then. We're looking to make it 5 unbeaten. Yeah. Just to finish off today, how is the mood in the camp at the minute ahead of this trip to Altrincham?
Yeah, the mood is high. I feel like everyone believes in themselves, believes in the team, believes in what we can do, how we can score goals, how we can keep clean sheets and defend. And I feel like it's all coming together now.
Chin, you've been absolutely brilliant, Josh. I'm sure you'll agree. Have you enjoyed being on here today?
Yeah, of course. Yeah,
we'll definitely be getting you back on, Chin. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
Brilliant to hear from Chin. And he speaks very openly and he's quite passionate about his football. And I think that's really clear to see. And I've enjoyed watching him in a Bromley shirt. And clear to see that he's hungry, isn't he, Josh?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we're used to seeing young talent come to us and sort of help them on their development, so hopefully Chin's another one. And yeah, he's very eager. He doesn't want to lose his place in the team, and by the looks of it, he probably won't.
Well, good luck to Chin, and we hope to catch up with him again soon. Enjoy watching him for sure. And that goal against Rochdale was his first professional goal, and he spoke very openly about how that was one of the best moments, if not the best, in his career, which is great.
Yeah,
well, anyway, Josh, moving on now to Community Corner.
Yeah.
Is that the new jingle? Yeah.
Well, it's because, Matt, our actual podcast equipment is being used at the minute for quiz prep.
Okay, so let's say the new jingle or the interim jingle.
Interim.
Yeah. Okay, let's go for Community Corner. Anyway, we've got something a bit different for you this week for Community Corner. Rather than it coming from me, we've actually got our senior coach, George Orchard. So I'm just going to give the floor to George. Here he is.
Oh, yes.
And on Community Corner this week, we are delighted to be joined by senior coach at the Bromley FC Community Sports Trust, George Orchard. George, welcome to Ravens Weekly.
Thank you for having me.
Do you like our setup in here?
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah, it's very new. I haven't done this before. So yeah, no, it's very nice.
You know what? George has been eager to get on here.
Oh yeah, I'm honestly absolutely buzzing I'm on here today.
He has been chomping at the bit, let me tell you. For the past few weeks, he has not stopped badgering me every single day. Can I come on the podcast? And I've just said no every time. Only joking, no. It's great to have you on, George. And hoping you can provide a little bit of insight. You know, it's quite often myself or Josh on here talking about the summer camps and the various activities that go on. Mm-hmm. But you're actually the one out there delivering it with a brilliant team of coaches. It's been a 5-week camp, which is a long 5 weeks.
Very long.
But how has it been, and what sort of stuff did you get up to?
So it was a very fun time. A lot of happy children. Over 1,000 participants, so quite a lot of kids turning up. Basically, they just turn up, play loads of games. Obviously, hopefully, loads of goals being scored, which there was. And also, they worked on their passing, receiving, their dribbling, their shooting at goals, and also their teamwork. So it was a very good 5 weeks indeed.
It just gives them an opportunity, doesn't it, to like you say, learn these skills but have fun at the same time mm-hmm. in an environment that doesn't really put pressure on them. You know, they're not training for a team, for example.
Yeah.
Ultimately, they're there to have fun and keep fit during the holidays.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so like we sort of try to make it fun and engaging. Obviously, kids might not find certain drills fun or practices fun. So we just try to make everyone engaged and try to do fun games for them so they can all get involved and hopefully enjoy their time at Bromley.
And obviously you're part of the Mini Ravens coaching team,
yeah.
Which we've recently started doing, and that's from 18 months upwards.
Mm-hmm.
We'll come on to that shortly. But in terms of the camps, you've got the youngest being 4 and the oldest being 15.
Yeah.
And obviously that means a lot of splitting out into different groups.
Yeah, so... I wasn't doing any mermaid dances with the 15-year-olds. it's sort of you got to act differently with different age groups of kids. So with the 4 to 7-year-olds we got in the younger camp, we sort of had to make it fun and engaging so they don't lose concentration. With the older, like, they're mainly interested in matches and sort of practices that they can sort of improve on their skills. So you've got to work differently with different groups.
And I tell you what is really nice as well, and Josh, you captured some of this as well, and maybe you can tell us a bit about what you saw, is the first team players actually visiting mm-hmm. the camps and actually how much they engage and how good they are with the kids.
Yeah, it was brilliant. Yeah, I think we had 17 player appearances turn up overall, which was fantastic. Loads of them getting involved in the matches. I won't say who won, but yeah, no, it was very good for the kids to get involved and obviously meet some of the first team players and hopefully create memories for them last for a long time.
Have you seen any future coaches amongst our players?
Good question.
I'd say Mitchell Burkamp was quite good with the kids.
Yeah.
And then Teddy as well was really good. It was very engaging.
The young lads were... Was it,
Rashid? Rashid was getting his arms flapping about.
He was brilliant. I think he was manager for one of the teams for our middle lot that we had in the camp. And it was very, very intense with his management skills. So, I think he's quite a...
Brilliant.
Got a future in coaching.
Good. Yeah, healthy competition there.
Yeah. But I think they feel a bit overwhelmed when they get into it. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as they get into the actual thing... They're
a bit nervous. You probably see it when they're walking up. Yeah. They're a bit anxious, bit nervous.
Kids, isn't it?
It is. And I think some of the days we had our half camp as well, didn't we? We had about 150 kids on site, which is incredible. And the safeguarding and all the procedures that have to go into looking after them. And it is daunting. But, you know, these guys walk out every week in front of thousands of people. And it almost looks like they're more nervous walking up to a group of kids. I can't explain it.
It is really odd. I think because there is loads of them, they just get asked so many questions.
I guess they're not used to it. They're used to playing in front
Agreed,
of crowds. This is a different kind of crowd.
Agreed.
This is a more demanding crowd than a National League supporter base that's getting on your back.
Yeah. They want to know if they've played against Messi or Ronaldo.
That's it. Or who's better out of the two.
Yeah, true. Yeah, that's always a question, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Every single time when you do your Q&A, it's always... who do you prefer, Messi or Ronaldo?
I was going to say that, actually. Talking on what Josh has just mentioned there, there is a Q&A session that's held with the players, which is brilliant for the kids to be able to interact with them kind of face-to-face. Mm-hmm. And you know, there's not that kind of separation. This is a community club. Everyone's in it together.
So I remember one highlight that sort of comes to mind now is where there was one kid where they were doing a Q&A and then one kid was like, they asked the players how many goals they scored. And then one of the players said they got 3 and he was the most out of the players. And then one kid took his boot off and gave it to one of the players and said, here's your golden boot. It was brilliant.
That is good. That is good. Also on the first team front, we house the children occasionally in the Glyn Beverley stand, mm-hmm. which allows them to watch while they're having their lunches and snacks and whatever, allows them to watch the first team train, mm-hmm. which That's is incredible.
Brilliant. Yeah, it's brilliant. Also as well is that they start singing songs as well as they're training, and when they score a goal, they celebrate. So it's always like a match day atmosphere, which is brilliant when they turn up.
Putting a bit of pressure on the players.
Oh, yeah.
I remember we signed in the summer, but we were doing a picture on the pitch. And all the kids were cheering his name.
Yeah, I remember that.
Or not his name, but they were cheering the fact that it was a new signing.
Yeah.
And he started clapping them and it was brilliant.
That is fantastic. That is fantastic. Just on the subject of what we were talking about a moment ago, the mini Ravens, mm-hmm. that's something brand new to us.
Yeah.
And obviously it's a completely different dynamic to what you've coached before. How have you found it?
Difficult because it's sort of new to everyone. Like as I said earlier, that I've been doing some mermaid dances, which is very new. About that, like a lion and a dinosaur. So
he
that's
practices that at home. Oh, as well.
that's a secret.
He practices it in the office.
That's a secret.
Fully mermaid clothing.
He plays the music as well. I've got to say,
that's a little secret. Thanks, guys. But yeah, so it's like it is new. It's very interesting. I think it is very nice to see. Where we have our 18 months turn up and they're having loads of fun and with a smile on their faces and they do seem to enjoy it, which is brilliant. Recently, we have started to try to get more football sessions involved where it's sort of been like nice and fun games for them, but we try to get more of the football active, more involved now.
I guess that's it, because obviously the parents are joining in with them as well. It's not at the start, it's not all about kicking a football. Mm-hmm. It's about the motor skills and the skills and the movement that they need initially. So it's kind of building up to that point. But I think it's fair to say there's definitely, you can see they're picking up these skills and the feedback's been really good from the parents.
Yeah, no, it's been brilliant. I thought the first week, like it was sort of like a tester for the parents and for the kids. And I feel like we feel comfortable with the kids, the kids feel comfortable with us and also the parents. So I think it's brilliant to see. Also, numbers have been increasing as well. And obviously we see most of them in the mini Ravens kits that they can purchase, which is fantastic. There's been loads.
Tell us a bit about you, George. How did you get into coaching? What's your footballing background?
So I started playing football when I was about 4 years old for my local team around Greenwich. Thought I could take it a bit serious as a career. Luckily, had a trial at Chelsea for 6 months. And then after that, I got loads of interest from other clubs. So then I signed for Charlton at the age of 14, 15. And then I got released there, unfortunately, and then went to Gillingham at the age of 15, 16, so near the squalor time that they usually happen. And then, unfortunately, the club was struggling with money, so they couldn't really afford any of the players there. So basically, all the players in the under-16s had to get released, so everyone went. And then, luckily, I knew someone that works at West Ham. So then, went on trial at West Ham for about 6 weeks, got signed, was there for about 4 years, and then unfortunately got injured. So then I couldn't play football anymore. But then I sort of wanted to stay in the around the industry within football. And then 1 week, my younger brother's team didn't have a coach for a game. So they asked me to do it. And I thought, I'll tell you what, I'll have a go. Found out I was really good at it. We won 3-0, I think it was. So we won. And I thought, I'm quite good at this. So then I thought, I'll give it a go. But I emailed here to see if there was a job at all for any coaches. You guys replied back and I've been here ever since.
And you're about to celebrate your first year anniversary of being full time.
Yeah,
what a year it's been.
Yeah, I've just absolutely flown by. So many memories I've made. I've learnt absolutely loads and I can't wait to make more and obviously gain more knowledge.
But what? One thing that George needs to do though that he hasn't done is dress up as a Raven.
He does. Does he need to do an initiation song as well?
I think you should do it this podcast.
I can sing, but I'm not dressing up as the Raven, unfortunately. No, not now, sorry.
You've got Mike in front of you.
Okay, right.
The problem is, if he does this, we're going to start having people tune out. So.
True, yeah. Okay, we'll save
We'll do a private performance.
Just
for us. Another thing that I was going to ask you, obviously I kind of know the answer to this question, but for people listening, what is an average week in our timetable as a community trust and what does that look like for you as a coach, as a lead coach?
So a very busy week for everyone at the community. So we have our midweek sessions on a Monday night. Boys and girls can turn up there. So that's at 5 till 8, that is. And then we obviously got our Wildcat sessions during the weeks on Tuesday. And with our squad sessions, so it's a bit older for the older age groups. And then obviously we've got the adult sessions with Bells, walking football on a Friday. Also got our goalkeeping sessions coming up soon on a Friday, starting back up. And obviously the biggest one that we got is Saturday soccer school on a Saturday morning, which is 9 till 1. Easily over about 300 kids turn up within across the 4 hours, so very busy.
And one of those is, of course, Pan Disability.
That's
as well.
Right,
so we start with our mini Ravens, don't we? At 8 o'clock in the morning, early start for
very
you guys,
early.
Right through till one. Mm-hmm. And it's great to see the mix of people that we've got in there, you know, right from the 18 months up until, you know, some of these Pan Disability participants in their 30s.
Yeah, I feel like we can coach any age group. I feel like within the community, And especially with the Pandisability group, it's grown so much. Like, I remember when we first started it, I think I had about 2 kids. Now I get about 15, 20 kids turn up, so it's amazing. And it's great to see that the word's got around as well, how amazing we coach, and obviously more kids turn up.
And just before we finish, it's not just about what we do here, is it? Because there's a lot of stuff that goes on away from the club. Do you want to tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, so we go to after-school clubs around the primary schools around the local area. So we coach loads of schools, and basically we just coach them like with football. So basically working on their passing, receiving, their dribbling, their shooting, obviously playing matches as well. And sometimes they're lucky enough to get a player visit as well from the first team, which is very nice.
I'll tell you what, and we've all noticed it when we've gone round the schools in recent years, mm-hmm. you know, you're seeing more and more Bromley shirts being worn, and you're going into the schools, George, and people are saying, oh, that's Bromley FC. Mm-hmm. They know who we are now.
Yeah, and it sort of seems like when I walk around, I'm like a celebrity myself when I see all the kids around there.
I was going to say, it's crazy. When we go with players, it's always the coaches the kids want to see.
Agreed, yeah, it's crazy.
You lot are with the kids here mm-hmm. in the after school club. So
he's been signing so many autographs. He's got an injury.
Well, it is. I remember. I don't know who we went with. But there was like a group of kids. They're like, "Oh, Coach George, Coach George." And it's like just ignore like James Venning in the ones.
Yeah, it's amazing.
We got to be a bit careful, otherwise George won't get out the door in a minute. So
yeah. No, carry on, please.
No, in all seriousness, you guys do a great job, and it seems like you all enjoy doing it as well.
Yeah, no, I think all of us are very passionate and obviously want to give back to the community, and it is amazing to see smiles on kids' faces. So hopefully that may continue.
Well, that's why we do it, isn't it, George? And what I like as well, just to touch on about what we offer, mm-hmm. And we talk about the 18 months. We've currently got, as we record this, our Ravens chat going on downstairs, which has up to the age of 19 at the moment, right, and counting. Yeah. It's a really big range, isn't it?
Yeah, so obviously going from 18 months to 90 years of age is absolutely ridiculous. Like, it doesn't matter how old you are, what ability you got in football, or even if you don't like playing football at all, you're more than welcome to come down to Bromley Football Club and obviously come down and see what we got.
There's something for everyone.
Agreed,
isn't there?
Yeah.
Well, George, thank you so much for your time.
Thank
really
you
appreciate you coming on today. It's been brilliant to hear from you.
Thank you for having me.
Really good to hear from George there. He's obviously passionate about, you know, about his role at the club, and, you know, for someone that wanted to become a professional footballer and it didn't work out for him, he's a good, you know, role model to have, and, you know, it shows that you can still get involved in football even, you know, during a tough period where you are facing, you know, rejections and whatever. So yeah, fair enough.
It's a cruel game, football, and, you know, one injury can have that kind of impact. So we're delighted to have George on board, and yeah, fantastic interview there, I think, and really well spoken about a 5 weeks of hard work trying to kind of phrase that and how I say it, but it's been enjoyable, but it's also been draining for the coaches, and they've all done a brilliant job. So to each and every one of them, thank you for your hard work, and thank you to George for that interview as well. Moving on, you're going to be hearing less of our voices for the next few minutes as well, as we are joined for Roy Remembers, our weekly segment, by the one, the only Roy Oliver. Here he is.
We're back with the one, the only Roy Oliver for Roy Remembers. Roy, welcome back once again for your weekly segment here on Ravens Weekly. How are you doing?
Very well, Matt and Josh, yeah, very well.
We're looking forward to another quiz night tonight, aren't we, as well?
Absolutely, yes. Yeah.
You said you're bringing a friend along tonight.
Yeah, his name's Google.
We had to get that one on there. Yeah,
I like that one.
If you don't know nothing, just ask Google. He knows everything.
Just a disclaimer, we do not promote cheating in quizzes, and we can confirm that nobody will be allowed to use their phones during the quiz.
And Roy's table's right at the front, so we'll be
Roy's table. Yeah. So we're going to make sure that there is someone just watching Roy's table, because they're the nuisance table, to be honest. They are, you know, they're always they're always doing something. I'm only joking. Roy, just as we always do, before we get onto the history corner, we'll talk about the last game. You were at Rochdale and you were also at the South End game, and two positive results overall. How do you feel about those games?
Brilliant, yeah. I mean, it was a long journey up to Rochdale. It took us 7.5 hours. It was murder on the M25 and on the M40. So, yeah, we didn't get to Courtenay before the end of the start of the game. But a real good draw, a very good draw. In fact, I think we could have won it. I thought the player, Josh Pacey, was sent off not correctly. Referee just red card straight away. And sometimes I spoke to Mash and he said, sometimes referee needs to just think about it for a second. And if they're not sure, go and see what the linesman says. Instead of just making a quick judgment. Yeah, so, a well-earned draw. And Southend, I thought, because I had seen that Corey was going to be missing because he came off the pitch at Rochdale limping. But he was playing. And I think with Louis Dennis, it really generated our forward line. And Cheeky was, I think he's been really fitter this season. And he's really getting in the game. He's winning headers galore up front. And he took his goal well. So that's 2 in 2 games.
Always good to get your take on it, Roy. And a positive bank holiday period for the team overall. 4 points from 2 difficult games. Rochdale, not an easy place to go to. And Southend, aside, despite their points deduction and issues off the field, had been playing very well. And overall, it was a good game of football on Monday, wasn't it? Two teams that moved the ball around well.
Yeah, it was a very good game. And, you know, we started off season 2 defeats and then 3 draws. And the win, we had to work for the win. And, yeah, it was a very good game overall. It could have gone either way at the end, you know, because they put a bit of pressure on us at the end there. But we were throwing bodies in the way and stopping anything they had coming at us. So a well-deserved win.
So, Roy, thank you for that. What have you got for us on the history front today?
It's our first tour of Holland in 1946.
Oh.
So you've got to take this is just after the war. So in Holland, there's a lot of places like Flushing, what have got a lot of war damage, and all the canals have been blown up. So they had to build these sort of bailey bridges over them. So they did a 150-mile trip by bus. So they played Flushing first, and they were a good first division side, played good football. And the game was 3-3. George Brown scoring 2 of them.
No surprises.
No surprises
No, beg your pardon, it was Scott who scored 2 and McNally 1.
Ah.
George scored 2 in the next game.
Ah.
And then they went on a 150-mile bus ride through a lot of towns, in Bogora and countryside and all that, and across these bailey bridges what the army had built, because the canal bridges had all been blown up, you know, in the war, like. And they played this team from Leiden, and they lost 3-2. They should have sort of beaten them, but George Brown scored both our goals.
There we go. There he is, George Brown.
Yeah. And then we came back to a place called Goes, G-O-E-S, and we won 9-2. But they were the first division champions.
Blimey.
From the year before.
That's a really impressive result.
So they won 9-2. So the scoring went, George Brown scored 5, Everton scored 1, Martin 1, Reese 1, and an own goal.
Just checking here, these 9 goals, they weren't scored by taking corners.
No.
They were actual goals.
Actual goals, yeah. No, if you got a goal, it wasn't 4 points for it. Like the 6-a-side championship, yeah. So and they had a civic reception and, and a supper, and they played games and dancing until 3 o'clock in the morning.
Wow.
So, and then they were up by 8 o'clock to go on another journey to, and it was a party of 25, so it was 16 players and 9 officials. And they went to this place called, it's Wester, but where is it? It's Walcheren. Sort of Westeren. And they went to a cemetery where there's an RAF airman buried there, and the burgomaster gave a little speech saying that, he thanks the English for what they did to liberate Holland in the Second World War, and then they went back to Ostend to Flushing, and then they had another cabaret and dance, and they came back.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, if any of the first team players of now are listening to this, they might be a bit jealous, Roy.
Yeah, yeah.
That sounds like one really good trip, obviously, with various different things going on and, you know, some emotions, I'm sure, as well. But it sounds like a really interesting trip.
Yeah, it says that every place they went to in Holland, they got greeted with warm handshakes and embraces and, you know, just thanking the English people.
Wow.
Which was nice. And that's where they built up this... So Flushing came to Bromley that season as well. So we played them home and away. And then we played them all the way through the 40s and 50s into the 60s.
That's incredible.
So we need to start going on the trips now, don't we?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. So, can you organise that, Roy?
I'll have a go. I think Tony Ledson did write to Flushing years ago. But I didn't think he got a favourable response. So I don't know if he actually did or not, but that's what was said.
Interesting.
But it'd be certainly nice to go to places like that, you know, to play a couple of games.
Where would you want to go? Which country in the world would you want this current team to go to in a like pre-season tour?
Oh, Holland. I wouldn't mind going to Holland, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Going back there.
Because you know about the one I told you about in 1957 when they played that team called Bergen-op Zoom.
Yeah.
And the way they started with the light aircraft going across the pitch and dropping the ball out.
Yeah.
So that would be a nice one. To see if they could repeat it.
Wow. Yeah. You always learn something new, Josh, don't you, on these segments?
Brilliant.
Absolutely fantastic.
Yeah. You got quite a big write-up here, all on it.
How do you find all these things, Roy? You show me a newspaper cutting.
Newspaper cuttings, yeah. So you can get them copied out of the newspapers.
Wow.
It's all on microfilm.
So what are you up to downstairs at the minute? You're in Raven's Chat with Mark Andrews, and you've got a plethora of papers, books, records. Mark's got his laptop out. What are you up to?
So things that were wrong in the book... we're trying to rectify. Also, we're going to have a team lineup from 1889 up to the present date of team lineups.
And that's a project for you. Yeah.
Wow.
Well, we've got most of all the lineups done now.
Wow.
I mean, it's about 8 years to do.
Including friendlies.
And friendlies we're going to do as well. You know, so I found friendlies in the 20s that weren't recorded. So we won the Lewis Memorial Cup, for instance. And in the 50s, we won the Hastings Memorial Cup down at Hastings. I've got both of them programmes, of course.
Of course you do. Of course you do.
So we're putting all the programmes online now. So hopefully, with the connection with the club, this will get people to be able to look it up, and maybe we can get a bigger book coming up with more information.
Well, you're doing a brilliant job with Mark Roy and John Self and everybody else who's helped along the way. Thank you so much for everything, and thank you for joining us once again today.
Thank you very much, Matt, Josh.
So, on to Altrincham then, and a huge shout out to everyone that's going to be making the journey. Don't forget, if you're not, we'll be bringing you live commentary over on Mixlr and Bromley Radio, so do join us for that. Altrincham are enjoying a good start to the season. They currently occupy sixth in the table on 10 points. They have drawn four of their fixtures and won two of them. They had a 1-1 to open the season against Dagenham Redbridge before beating Woking 3-2 at Kingfield. A 2-2 draw against York City followed before a 1-1 draw against Boreham Wood. They beat Chesterfield 2-1 coming from a goal behind before drawing 3 goals apiece against AFC Fylde. It's a tough place to go, Josh.
Yeah.
Andy will talk again more about it when we interview him shortly. A good footballing side and memories of last year with a solitary goal enough to give Bromley a victory, but bodies on the line at the end and a sheer constant pressure from Altrincham.
Yeah, I think we've said it the past couple of years, ever since Altrincham have come back into the league. I think it's always going to be a tough place to go. Obviously, a big trip for the lads, but past 2 years, we've got 6 points out of it. So obviously, 2 years ago, Omar scored, and then last year we had, I think it was Webbo, wasn't it? I think Webbo scored.
Yeah.
Who scored second? Byron Scott, was it?
Michael Cheek.
Yeah.
Michael Cheek.
And then Omar at the end, wasn't it? Or was that Torquay? There was a Tuesday, a really long Tuesday night trip, and right at the end, Omar just threw himself.
That was it. Well, of course, it was two quickfire goals in the opening 20, 25 minutes from Webster and Cheek. And Tyrese Sinclair, the man we mentioned, scored for Rochdale, on both occasions on Friday night, scored for Altrincham. And I think it was a defensive error. I remember there being a bit of frustration around that goal. But ultimately, we did just about enough to hold out for the 3 points. So not the worst place for Bromley to go, but I think this will be the toughest test we've had yet in terms of an Altrincham side who have recruited very well and are unbeaten in six games.
Yeah, you can't ignore their current run. But, you know, just like with any other team, the run doesn't last forever. And, you know, maybe Saturday's the day where it ends.
Fingers crossed. And Bromley, of course, currently unbeaten in four, looking to make it five. Let's hope that happens on Saturday at Altrincham. And if you're joining us, safe travels and fair play to you. If not, we are live on Bromley FC Live on Mixlr and Bromley Radio, bringing you coverage of that game. Now, we've mentioned the gaffer a few times. Let's hear from him. Here's Andy Woodman on Rochdale, Southend, Altrincham and everything else.
Andy Woodman, welcome back. Thanks for joining us once again.
Pleasure.
We're going to go over the last two games, and it was, we spoke about it last week, the unfamiliar prospect of playing on a Friday night, which is exactly what we did away to Rochdale. What was your take on that game?
Well, the actual opportunity to play on a Friday night worked well for us because it gave us an extra day's recovery going into the Monday game, and I just felt with that extra 24 hours and the travelling back, that might just help us going into Monday. So that kind of worked well for us in that respect. And it was quite nice to play on a Friday night. I quite like it. I used to do it at Colchester when I was a player there, although we'd done it for all the wrong reasons. And that was because we could go out in Colchester after the game. I shouldn't say that.
not the same reasons this time, no.
But that was the truth. That's what we did. Friday night, play, get out in the town. But that wasn't the reasons at all. So that worked well. We managed to prepare properly, travel up, train, and all et cetera, et cetera. And then the game plan was good. I thought we knew how they were going to play. We knew they'd have a lot of ball. We knew they liked to play patterns and keep the ball. And kind of again, I want to sort of allude to the supporters. Like, if a team's keeping the ball, don't get frustrated because they're not really hurting us, you know. And then I think teams know that we'll sit and wait and then bang, we'll take our moment. So, and I know as a fan, that's really frustrating sometimes. You think, why aren't we doing this? Well, if you actually break it down, a lot of teams are not going anywhere with it. They're just playing it for the point of playing it, which is crazy. So then our game plan was to sit in a mid-block, let them have the ball, and then we knew them to come a certain way and we could sort of box them off and nick the ball back. And we did it really well, I felt, and created some chances. So that went really well for us. And then obviously we had the sending off, which I've looked at it a few times. I suppose if it was against us, I'd be screaming for the guy to be sent off. And when it's your man, you're kind of a little bit like, is that a bit soft? Anyway, the ref made his decision, double jeopardy, in my opinion, sent off and a penalty. And then it was backs against the wall again a little bit. But I felt we looked quite comfortable again. And then they scored that unbelievable goal just after half time. And then that was when it was a little bit like, this could be really now tough. But the lads, you know, these boys that are carrying that sort of mantra of us that they don't know when they're beat. And then we went up the other end and got a goal. And I thought we looked good. I thought we looked really good. So I'd sooner finish with 11 players, but it was another good point, I felt, and a good performance.
And we've really seen Chinna Coley grow into that role that he's playing now in a Bromley shirt. And of course, he got in team of the week before with that clean sheet at Kidderminster and then the goal on Friday night. It's a good week for Chin.
Yeah, it's been a good week for Chin. Look, we're working with him. We're trying to progress him. We're trying to make him better because that's our job. You know, we take a bit of pride in that when we take players on loan, we don't expect them to just come here playing and go home or go back to their club. We want to progress them because we sort of invest in them as people. So, and I think we've done it really well here. We've invested in the whatever player we've got, and particularly if they're on loan, and we kind of make a point of trying to help them and make them better. So when they go back, they're ticking more boxes for their club, and the club can see a difference. And we're doing that with Chin. He's not the finished article. He's getting better every game. He's learning on the job. I have to sort of remind people that when we got Deji, similar sort of age, Deji didn't play for 6 weeks. We had him around the place for 6 weeks and training with us and working with him before he got in the team. Chin's come straight in and had to go straight in the team. So he's sort of learning on the job. But he's done great. Yeah, he's done great, Chin. I'm glad he scored the other night.
You got back around 4 or 5 o'clock Saturday morning, and you talked about that in your previous interview as well. A day Sunday, and then onto the game on Monday. Not much time really to recover.
No, again, look, I'm just trying to give a picture to people rather than sort of make excuses, which I'm not. You know, when you get back at 4:30, 5 o'clock, and then the lads, some of these boys have got to drive then to their homes. Let's use Michael Cheek as an example, who has to drive to Colchester. He's going to be getting home at a very early hour, and then Saturday, I'm sure with the best wind in the world, he's not going to sleep all day and catch up his sleep. You know, he's got a young family. So that's where the tiredness can come in a little bit, and the fatigue. Sunday we was in, and we're always in on a Sunday, whether we've got a Monday game or a Tuesday game. I make sure we're in preparing. And the lads come in, we've done a light session, walked for a few scenarios, a few bits and pieces, but really it was a case of just making sure everyone was rubbed and stretched and ready and prepared as properly as we can be for the Monday game. And the lads have been professional. You know, I can't say anything else other than my group. They're a professional, my staff are professional, how we prepare, because look, it's all right we're saying about the players, the staff have all had to do it as well. And everyone's been professional with what they've done because they know the importance of it.
And ready, they certainly were, looking at that game against Southend, a good performance that afternoon.
Yeah, I felt we was good. I felt we looked a little bit more comfortable on our home pitch. Still not where I want us to be. I won't make no secret of that. But it was the result that was important. I think we all knew that. You know, we just needed to get that win and just relax everybody a little bit. And we did that. And look, again, I thought we were brilliant for 60 minutes. And then 30 minutes at the end, we become a little bit disjointed, probably a little bit of fatigue. And again, when I say fatigue, I don't mean not fit. I just mean the whole sort of weekend's caught up on 10 men Friday, late travelling back. And I felt we looked like that towards the end of the game. But, you know, that's given confidence. They've managed to grind out a result, and grind out a result we did. And a good result against a Southend team that's been bashing teams up.
And some real heroic defending and goalkeeping towards the end from Topper Lodge, Grant Smith, Callum Reynolds, all throwing their bodies on the line.
And I'd expect them to. You know, that is us. I've shown them a few clips prior to this game. In fact, a bit earlier on in the season when I felt we was all trying to be nice and find our feet and be the perfect sort of team. Well, hang on a minute, that's great. But this is the other side that you've got to do. And I showed him some clips of players that were here last year and what they did and how they got us across the line, just to make sure that we know that you can do all the nice stuff, but there's also the ugly stuff we've got to do. And they've done that great, I can say that.
And Louis Dennis back in the side certainly offered that creativity and, of course, scored that opening goal. Great work from Corey Whiteley too to force the error.
Well, Corey chased the ball that he had no right to chase, really, and continued to chase it, which then put pressure on the keeper to play a pass out. Then the defender was under a bit of pressure. So we created that momentum and pressure, and then Louis read the scripts. And actually, when it fell to Louis, he kind of breathed a sigh of relief in the nicest sense of he's the one player you want it to fall to, don't you? Because you know he's just going to go stone cold and just slot it in. So that was great for Louis, particularly that he's had a frustrating sort of start to the season. We know what Louis can do. Everyone knows what Louis can do. I sometimes question whether Louis knows what he can do, but I keep reminding him that he's important to us, Louis. And he's playing. He's playing with a bit of discomfort. I won't keep that from people, but he's doing a stellar job for us, Louis. And and he's an important player for us. You know, we all know how well he is. So that was good for Louis to open his account. It was good for both our front men to score.
I was going to say 2-2 for Michael Cheek, and this goal up there with one of the best he's scored in a Bromley shirt, left-footed as well.
Yeah, very good strike. Look, we've been working with Cheeky and all the forwards a little bit more on pulling the trigger outside the box, keeping it under the bar. It sounds obvious, it sounds straightforward, but in the moment it's not. So we've been working quite a lot on the finishing and taking more shots and, you know, not trying to create the perfect goal. So I was delighted that Cheeky took that and finished it, and it was a good finish. So so that gave us like a bit of relief for 1 minute, and then they scored the other end, and then you're back in the game again. the goal was a little bit of a funny one that they scored, a handball, I believe, and a bit of... But look, we can't keep moaning about decisions. Decisions are decisions. We should have defended it better.
And something that's, I guess, been a little bit understated, but again, shows that your belief in young players, also the talent that is here, 17-year-old Nathan Paul-Lavalli on the bench for your team on Monday.
Yeah, I had no problem. I've got to be honest. I was thinking about playing him, to be honest. I was really close to playing him, and I make no secret of it. He's been with us all pre-season, then he's had a little break because he had a holiday with his family, because he's still at school, you know, this kid. So I can't really say, but that's unprofessional. And God bless his mum. His mum said, look, we'll get him home early from his holiday. He's a young man. He needs a holiday with his family. So because he probably had the holiday and he hadn't been with us really the last couple of weeks as much, I just kind of thought it was a bit unfair on him. But you'll be seeing him. He's a good player, a really good player. You know, he's on the bench. I had no problem putting him on the bench. I never had no problem putting him on the pitch, like all these young boys. I've really got no problem with that. That said, Jude went in there and done a stellar job. I thought we kept Bridgie really quiet.
And just one thing that I think stood out, and you talk about Jude there, Corey Whiteley is another one, and all of the boys, just the level of fitness. And, you know, you look at Jude with those marauding runs at the end to keep the ball away from the penalty area. Corey Whiteley as well, the energy just didn't seem to drop throughout.
No, and I rue anyone that says that we're not the fittest team in the league. I really mean that. We planned the summer off of what the lads were doing. And when they got their off-season programme, I mean, it's meant to be they're off on holiday, relaxing. And it was a proper, like, a lot of kilometres they had to do to get the core fitness in. So when they come back, there was a high level of fitness to then go again. And we put some miles into them, some real miles, because I think it's important to get that core into the team. And the lads done it, and we are fit. We are a really fit team. The flip side of that, the new signings were not only playing catch-up on the summer work they hadn't done, they was also playing catch-up on where these boys were at. So that's why we've probably picked up one or two injuries. And I kind of looked at that. What could we do different? I don't think there's a lot we can do different. We can't foresee what players we're going to sign and say, here's a fitness program in the summer, do that until you sign for us. So that's just where we're at. But that's testament to the sports science people here, to you know, the coaching staff and all of us, really, the sort of preparation we put through the summer. Picked up a few injuries, we know that, but we look a fit team.
You talk about players signing. We were just talking about this off air. You're still spinning some plates as we speak. Your phone's on the table, and that's the only time your phone's been out of your hand today, hasn't it?
People would have no idea. I mean, look, I'm excited. I'm really excited today, but it's not quite there yet. But I'd love to be able to say to people, look, we've got 3 players this close, but we might end up with none because... This is how it is, you know. It's hard to really explain to people. Why don't you just get him? It's just not as easy as that. Yeah, agents, clubs, players want to go somewhere else because they want to play in the league and all of this stuff, which I've explained before. But we are so close to 3 players at the moment. Again, it might be none at the end of the day, but it won't stop us. We'll keep going. And then we go on to the next lot and then the next lot. And that's been me, you know. I've been non-stop with it, relentless.
Fingers crossed. moving on to the next game then, and a trip to Altrincham, another long journey this coming Saturday, and a side that have started the season really well.
Yes, I think we always know that Altrincham are going to be a nice footballing team. They're going to do, you know, do things right. Personally, I think, I said this before, and I'll stand by it, I'd sooner be going to Altrincham now with the pitches like they are, rather than when the real mud, same as Halifax. regardless of the result. I think it just makes it a little bit more of a nicer place to go. But they'll be good Altrincham. Their manager's got them playing some good stuff. He's got some good players there. He can pull on the Manchester teams to get good loans in because they're local. They're a decent team. They're a decent team. But so are we. We're looking to not be beaten in five. So we're not beaten in four. And I don't think that should be rude at as well. Not beaten in four and two of those games, we had 10 men for a large period. Slowly, we're moving in the right direction.
Andy, thanks so much for your time. We'll catch up with you after that game.
Thank you.
Brilliant interview there, Matt, as ever.
Thank you, Josh. Yeah, Andy, as I say, every week is always very, very honest. And it's always great to catch up with him and see his views on things. Good to delve into it a little bit deeper than we can do in a post-match interview. And like we always say, people open up in here and they're honest and they say what they think. And Andy is definitely at the forefront of that. So brilliant to hear from him. Anyway, a reminder that our Bromley women are at home for the first time this season, this coming Sunday, the 3rd of September, as they host Bexhill. Head to the website for more details on that one. Come on down and support the Bromley women.
I don't think
women.
Bexhill have won yet.
Have they not?
I think they've played twice. I don't think they've won.
With the greatest respect to Bexhill, let's hope that stays the same after Sunday's game. Best of luck to the Bromley women. The under-21s are in action away to Cobham on Friday night. Again, more information on that on the website for you. And of course, if you are looking to get tickets for upcoming games, whether they're men's games, women's games, or under-21s, you can head over to bromleyfc.co.uk and buy your tickets that way. Couple more things. We've got a fans forum coming up for you on the 12th of September. That's a Tuesday. You can register your place for that. We're not charging, but we do ask that you register via bromleyfc.co.uk. And you can also submit your questions for the panel, which will be made up of first team manager Andy Woodman, chairman and owner Robin Stanton-Gleaves, and chief executive officer Mark Hammond. Just finishing, we've got an exec club offer, haven't we, for the Maidenhead United game?
We do, yeah.
Which is a very good offer, Josh.
It is, yeah. It's still £40 for adults and £20 for children. If you want to, you know, spice up your match day experience, and I would suggest emailing execclub@bromleyfc.co.uk.
Take advantage of that offer. It's not going to be there forever. It's a fantastic price and absolutely well worth it. The exec club hospitality is second to none. And we've got a fantastic review from Padded Seat, if anyone's interested in checking that out online. They're the social media page that goes around reviewing hospitality at football clubs. And we came out with some very good reviews from that one. And I'm not surprised. Brilliant work from all the team involved there. I think that's it, Josh, for another week.
I think that is it.
Another week has flown by.
Yes.
Well, anyway.
Before we know it, it will be Thursday again.
It will be Thursday again, and we'll be back with you.
In your ears.
In your ears. But thank you so much for joining us.
Or out your speakers.
That's true.
Still technically
that's
in your
true.
Ears.
You could have headphones, you could have earphones, you could have speakers. Some people even listen to us in the car. That's speakers, though, isn't it, I guess?
Yeah.
So. Yeah, under your speaker umbrella. But thank you so much for joining us. Josh, thank you for joining me, as always, and to all of you once again. If you are travelling to Altrincham, safe travels, and we'll see you there. Join us on the commentary, Bromley FC Live, if not. And we'll be back with another episode of Ravens Weekly next Thursday. Thanks again, everyone. Have a good week. You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town.